It's the Henry Ring Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, sort of at 12:05 AM until 1 PM. And this was just an aberration today. But we are having phone difficulties getting Primel Gomes on the line with us. We hope that he'll be calling in shortly. But actually, in my long-winded, self-important rant there in the first half of the show, sort of ran over all the things that I had prepared to actually talk about, real items that were going on in the world today in regard to President Trump and the Middle East and nearby regions, Southwest Asia, Iran, etc. And so we'll take a look at that while we see if we can get a phone call from Primel Gomes on this. What? Breaking news? Sort of breaking. It was a few hours ago. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, 68, was officially declared the winner of Friday's presidential election with a landslide victory of 57% against his rival, Ebrahim Raisi, a cleric and protege of the hardliners. Turnout was more than 70%. Rouhani campaigned on mending Iran's ties with the West and the greater freedoms inside Iran. However, the ultimate power for change will reside with the leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. I think we're going to take a shot here and see if we have our guests on the phone lines. Actually, we have multiple guests. Caller, you're online.
This is Primel Gomes.
Primel, amazingly enough, we have another caller calling in at the same time, I think, trying to fill the vacuum here. But let me just answer that quickly and see who we get. Caller, you're on the line.
Good afternoon, Henry. I thought I'd save your show.
How magnanimous and virtuous of you.
Well, I'm that kind of guy.
I do have the guest on the line, but I will give you a moment.
Maybe you can talk to him about Lawrence,
come on now. I'm going to give you a moment to talk here and let's share what's on your mind. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was wondering, you were talking about the impeachment of Trump and so forth. Could you please name the crime that is being alleged that he has committed?
Well, were you actually listening to me? Lawrence?
I was.
Well, then you would know that I said I don't think that we have seen an obstruction of justice that is provable in court, that you need an intent, and I don't think that he has shown hard evidence of intent, although I said with his tweets and his statements to the media, he is creating his own circumstantial case, but I don't believe anonymous quotes in the media prove intent, which would be necessary to prove the obstruction of justice. How does that, Lawrence?
Well, you are in line with Alan Dershowitz, a eminent bedwetter on the left, and who is a professor at Harvard, and I was just wanted to see where you were and that you were confirming that. So there is no crime.
I have not seen a crime that would be provable. I would not see
a
crime.
Anybody?
I've seen implications of a crime, but nothing provable in a court of law. Thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you. Hi.
Hey.
So, what's up with your day, Primel?
It's going very well. Sorry for the delay.
No, that's okay. Let me give you a proper introduction. Primel Gomes is the host of a weekly podcast, The Rotunda, focusing on people and stories shaping Florida politics. He is an award-winning journalist and a former statewide news director of Florida Public Radio. He hosted its flagship program, Capitol Report, and created the public affairs program, It's About Florida. He is a political commentator and regular political contributor to WTXL ABC 27 in Tallahassee, and also the Rotunda podcast, which you can find at rotundapodcast.com, as well as many other podcast venues, is a weekly feature of the Tallahassee Democrats. So, did I miss anything, Trumell?
No, that is very well, a girthy and a well-rounded introduction. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, if you ever need to find it for your resources, I found it on this podcast called RotundaPodcast.com. It's very useful.
Yes.
But anyway, this is Tramiel's second visit with us, and we appreciate that, especially on a weekend. I'm sure there's much better things to be doing. Tramiel, since we didn't really have too much time to cover what we were going to cover, I did listen to your most recent podcast, which I urge everybody to how do you subscribe to that? How do you, what's the easiest way so people get it delivered, don't even have to think about going for it?
Well, if you have an iPhone, the easiest way, most likely, there is a podcast app. If you've not listened to a podcast, it's like the purple button with the little waves, radio waves. And you just go into that, and you go into your search function, and you search for The Rotunda with Tramiel Gomes, and you pull it up, and you hit subscribe, and that's it. You don't have to do anything else. Each new episode will automatically come to your phone, and once you listen to an episode, this is free. It just disappears, and it doesn't impact your storage feature. If you don't have an iPhone, just download any third-party podcast app, and search for the program, The Rotunda, and you'll have it on your person wherever you go, wherever you are in the world. So it's worldwide, not just here in Florida.
Well, one of the featured stories on the most recent Rotunda podcast is a look at the conclusion of the Florida legislative session and the budget. And I know people like Lawrence up in the penthouse at the Vinoy are really concerned about where their tax dollars are going, in between harassing his housekeeper Consuela and his manservant Jeeves. But for people like, unlike Lawrence, who want to know where their tax dollars are going to because they work hard for their money, what are some of the highlights of the latest legislative budget, and where does it stand with the Florida Governor Scott?
Well, where it stands with Florida Governor Scott and the entire session, just to back up there, like, it really came down to a lot of personal fighting this legislative session. Not a lot on the policy, but more on the personalities that really took hold of the 2017 legislative session, namely the House Speaker, Richard Corcoran, who vowed from the beginning to shake things up and be a change agent and not do things as business as usual. And that clashed with Governor Rick Scott, who was more about business as usual and pushing his agenda of jobs, and particularly programs that he had a strong affinity to, which is Visit Florida and Enterprise Florida, which is a marketing arm for the state, and one is the business development arm. So between those two, they clashed on issues when those particular agencies they made news for having bad contracts and not seeing a good return on investments in the state, and the House Speaker seized on those opportunities to say, we need to stop doing these sort of bad investments and having all of these issues. We need to really look at how we're spending our dollars and make some changes. So the governor pushed forward and said, we need to fund these agencies still, regardless of the issues that came to light with regards to bad contracts. And that was the big drama that was the cloud, the big plume over everything else this session, with all the traditional issues like gun bills and education and stuff like that. That was pretty much the highlight of the session.
Let's go into that just a little bit more, because we had Florida Governor Scott on one side, who is obvious that he's has an ambition to run against our U.S. Senator Bill Nelson. We have Richard Corcoran, the Speaker of the House, who has an ambition to become the next governor of Florida. Some other Republicans are probably standing in his way on that. And one of the things that we've talked about is the Visit Florida. We've got tourism numbers this year from the people that count those numbers. And Governor Scott announced that there were 30.1 million tourists came to Florida in the first 3 months of 2017, a 2.5 increase. According to the period Visit Florida quotes, they say it is a 3.2% increase. But so who is validated by this? Is it Governor Scott that says, well, look how well the money was spent, we've got a record number? Or is it House Speaker Corcoran who says, we got what the people want, we don't need to be spending money to get people that are already coming here?
Yeah, and I think the outside of the infighting, for they both sort of have valid points. The governor can look to these numbers and say, hey, look, marketing the state works. We've seen this increase, and this is our return on investment. What you would probably hear from Speaker Corcoran is like, good, he would like to see it working, and it should work as it should. But within that, there should be some things that can be done differently. We shouldn't be giving $11 million for a way to one Emeril Lagasse to do a TV show, or giving Pitbull $1 million to do a music video, or giving away boats, or what have you in that story. There, the state didn't give away boats, but somehow it was involved there. So they both will have legs to stand on, and Corcoran would argue, like, you know, he wants to see things done right and open and transparent and make sure we're not, like, you know, spending recklessly. And the governor would say, like, hey, those are anomalies. They're not the norm. Those are just mistakes. We should not turn away from what's working. So they'll both seize on this opportunity, and the what for us to bolster the governor's argument is to see how this translates next year when we get the next term's numbers. Will this $25 million decrease to this Florida really have an impact negatively to the state? And that's to be seen, because we're just in the beginning of it. The numbers that we're seeing now that shows, like, skyrocketing or record numbers of tourism is a reflection of spending of last term.
Now, is the budget that's gone to Governor Scott, is that set in stone yet? Now, for people that may not know, the Florida governor has a line item veto where he can take out individual items out of the budget for whatever reason he deems it's a good idea. And were there losers in that process yet of the line item veto? And has the time passed that the budget's done now? It's set in stone.
It's still under review. I have not seen any thing he has until the end of the month to make a decision on whether to even veto the entire budget. There have been calls from unlikely allies now. I said it on the podcast, like, you know, an enemy today might be a friend tomorrow. So with some organization like the First Amendment Foundation and the League of Women Voters, they've actually come out urging the governor to consider vetoing the entire $82.483 billion state budget, because they were unhappy with some of the way a few deals came about that weren't out in public, didn't go through the full process, and it wasn't transparent as promised by House Speaker Richard Corcoran. So there are some advocates who are saying, like, this budget just needs to be scrapped and have them come back to the drawing board. So it's still in play, it's still being reviewed, and it's to see the power play. Will Governor Scott go forward with vetoing this budget to try and wiggle his way into getting what he wants? At this point, it doesn't look like the legislature will budge in increasing these incentives and restoring funding to Visit Florida or Enterprise Florida. So it will just be another fight and tug of war. But the governor does have some allies in the public sphere that are looking on to him, to saying, like, hey, maybe we should consider vetoing the budget and hoping for some changes when they reconvene.
Right, and you know what they say, so goes the League of Women Voters, so goes Florida. Well, so if he were to veto it, they would have to come back for a special session, correct?
They would have to come back and settle and have a budget ready to go.
And
they would. It's an interesting thing. Like, you know, the governor could use this as a punishment. Like, you know, typically it would be a punishment. Hey, I will veto this and force you guys back to Tallahassee with disregarding all of your plans. But another play in politics is the House Speaker, Richard Corcoran, already saying, like, you know, we look forward to coming back to Tallahassee. In fact, we were suggesting it because we didn't do what voters wanted, which is settling the medical marijuana issue. So we might have a special session on that.
Before we go into the details of what that session might look like, I'd just like to focus a little bit more on the political calculus of these two decisions. Because if I were Governor Scott, and he seldom has ever called me for advice, but I'm sure it would be useful for him if he would, I can't see how if you're going to run on how what an efficient governor you were, and now you should be the U.S. Senator, that you want to have something non-functional closing out this session and create all the press about how something didn't get done. Because I think most citizens of Florida probably are not too involved in the details of this budget and would notice that, oh, everything is just in gridlock and not moving in Tallahassee and who's the governor. On the other political calculus for House Speaker Corcoran, I'm wondering if his call for the medical marijuana special session, where the Senate President Joe Negron has not jumped on that bandwagon yet, if in this calculus of House Speaker Corcoran, he's looking at the fact that if he succeeds in the gubernatorial primary on the Republican side, he could very well be facing John Morgan on the Democrat side, who was the cheerleader and financial backer to get medical marijuana on the ballot and get it passed, and if he thinks that would sort of neutralize somewhat the issue for John Morgan. What do you think of either of those?
Well, that's if John Morgan decides to jump in the race. I think it's like, you know, does John Morgan, the very popular attorney here in Florida, really want to give up his lifestyle? We've already seen what it can do to someone who enjoys a very lavish lifestyle in that of President Donald Trump. The headache it can cause when you try to mirror what's happening in the business dealings in your personal life, to bring that into a very public sphere.
Rephrase the question to you. Would a person who wants to see his face all over billboards in the state of Florida, whose name is on all media, would a person that is so tied up in his self-image and presentation to the general public, would that person be able to resist being elected to the highest office in his land? I think
it's an alluring thing. Like, you know, we've seen it all the time. Why do all these powerful people who are very successful still want to run for office? There is an allure. There is power there. There is more to be had there. You get more influence. And that is a very serious drug that people can't get away from. But there is something to be said about still being powerful behind the scenes. He's been known to fund many politicians and their backing. And it's whether you want to be in the front. And to John Morgan's credit, like, yeah, he already has a platform. He's already known. He's already seen. So this extra notch, it's to be seen whether he would make that risk of, like, you know, having us dig into his background even more so than what we know now. Does he want to give up that little privacy that he does have? It's up to him. We're all waiting to see who else is going to jump into this race outside of Adam Putnam, the Republican Agricultural Commissioner, Gwen Graham, the former Congresswoman Democrat, Andrew Gillum, our Tallahassee mayor, also Democrat, and Chris King, the Orlando businessman, also Democrat. So it's waiting to see who else will fold into the Republican end, as this is going to be a crowded field.
Before we move on to another topic, so what would a medical marijuana special session look like, and why do you think Senator Negron is reluctant to jump on board?
Yeah, I was waiting to see what special session will look like. It is something to be said, and this is just me. I really opine. I usually let people give all of their opinions, but, like, you know, this is something the voters voted on and said that they want the state to address. And for session to end without this being addressed, it's a very much a disappointment and a blow to the voters and the citizens of the state. because lawmakers did not do what they were supposed to do, but they handled everything else. But the one thing that, like, you know, voters said, hey, this is what we want to see done, for them to conclude and now have to come back and all the extra money it takes to bring them back to Tallahassee. It's uplifting to see that there has been commitments by many who say, okay, we need to address this during special session. What it will look like, it's basically taking away the regulatory end of it, making those decisions of who gets to do what and how from the Florida Department of Health to these lawmakers to actually have all of the stakeholders come to the table and come to a decision and it made publicly as to how this new venture will be unfolded in this state. So that's what we're waiting to see, for the lawmakers to be in Tallahassee, make those decisions, have those committee hearings and public hearings to see who will be able to have licensees to sell medical marijuana and dispensaries, how many will be in the state, and what will it look like, and what potholes can we avoid from what we are seeing in other states to make this special and unique for the state of Florida.
We're speaking with Pramel Gomes. He is the host of the Rotunda podcast. You can get that most efficiently by going to rotundapodcast.com, and you'll get lots of backgrounds. Well over 100 episodes are there for you to find out all you need to know about the politics of Florida in the recent past. And one of the things that I found interesting on the latest, and by the way, we are going to be able to run over a few minutes if you can, Tramel, on the here. We don't have to quite wrap up just on this minute we're on right now. But we know, or many of us know, that the state of Florida has to operate on a balanced budget, that that's required by law, as it is in most all the states of the union. But I found out from the Rotunda podcast in the most recent episode that actually not so much. We're really running in debt. So how does that work?
Yes, that was from a report that came from Truth in Accounting. And they showed when it comes to, like, our pension system that we're actually $9 billion in debt. And it comes down to, like, when you're looking at all the taxpayers in the state, like $1,600 each for us to work out of this debt. It's by the founder of Truth in Accounting says it's like, you know, how we're fuzzing the numbers, how it's calculated, how we look at the current budget. We're not really accounting for everything, so we're not really ending in a balanced budget. So it was a fascinating discussion, and it was great to have her on the podcast to really explain how they come up with this figure, and it's worth a listen, I suggest it.
And I think
so,
one of
so
the things that I found to note is this is an accounting practice that wasn't required until 2015?
Yes. Yes, and the details, like, oof, I'm in the midst of dealing with the current episode, putting that together. But, yes, it is really fascinating to see, because, like, all these lawmakers talk about and tout, we don't want to be like Washington. We balance our budget here in Florida. We're unlike them. And it's just sort of like, look over here, not over there. And Truth in Accounting is showing, like, you know, not just Florida, like some other states who also have a balanced budget when it comes to these figures, it's not so much so. So they have some adjusting to do to make sure it really truly comes to a balanced budget, and they suggest some changes.
And one more quick topic I wanted to catch before we have to say goodbye, Tramel, is long-standing U.S. Representative Corrine Brown of Florida, who had a district that was one Dali-esque, if we can refer to a local museum, a very surreal sort of shaped district that she held for so many years, congressional district, is not having a very good year this year. Of course, her district was changed, but that was the least of her problems. Could you tell our audience what Representative Corrine Brown's recent news and upcoming fate looks like?
Well, former Representative Corrine Brown, a 12-term long-standing representing Jacksonville, and as you mentioned, her very obtuse, weird, snake-like, all over the place, gerrymandered. Like it, her district has been redrawn in so many ways, and there's been history as to seeing her being in support of those changes that to the congressional districts, which generally favor Republicans as they're redrawn. But to her, it ensured, like, you know, protecting her seat for the long term. So there were critics back in history as to why would you be supportive of this when the rest of the districts majorly, like, you know, it mostly supports Republicans. Somehow you would argue, like, you know, it protected her seat at least, so as long as she's protected, everything is fine. But outside of that, Representative Corrine Brown, she started, and her staff started a nonprofit that was supposed to give out scholarships to disadvantaged youth, and it was found that she was not doing so, and the charity was used as a slush fund to support her lavish lifestyle. She has multiple homes, and she likes to go shopping at Fifth Avenue and all of these fancy places. So it all caught up with her, and she has been very defiant and colorful in denying the allegations, but they ruled out of the 22 counts, she was found guilty of 18 and could face the rest of her life behind bars. Now we're waiting to see the details of the sentencing when the sentencing guidelines hit, but it's not looking good for all of her career. It ended in this way where she's facing prison time.
We've been speaking with Tramell Gomes of the Rotunda Podcast. You can get that on demand at rotundapodcast.com. Is also, would I describe you as the CEO of Gomes Media Strategies?
Yes, I am the president of Gomes Media Strategies. It's a boutique media relations firm, but I also produce original content, which programs like The Rotunda, and I help others create podcasts for their organizations. Like if you're a big association, you want to speak to your members or you're unique in some way with a voice, we assist with getting those productions launched.
And that's a, more information is available there at gomesmedia.com. And so, Tramell, just a quick preview of what's coming up on this week's The Rotunda Podcast, and when will that be available?
This will be available on Monday, and this Monday's episode will be very short and abbreviated. What I'm actually preparing for the podcast is following the campaign trail, do a special edition of the Rotunda as we lead into, like, you know, the governor's race, the Senate race, between, we'll wait till he officially announced Governor Rick Scott and Senator Bill Nelson, and all the high profile races, across Florida. So the program will go on the road and follow these candidates and really be a one-stop shop, and I'll be giving them their job interview. That's how I'm shaping it up to be. So it's not like the gotcha questions and all of that stuff. That's what you're going to get from the traditional journalists that are really doing the reporting. This is getting to know these candidates on a personal level. Why do you really want to run for this job? What was your greatest success? What can you identify as your weakness? And really get to know them, and hopefully by the time it comes down to voting, you'll be able to go to rotundapodcast.com and be able to go back and listen to all of these candidates to really have your study guide to help you make a decision as to who you would like to see as the next leaders of the state of Florida.
And will there be a Memorial Day podcast, or you take that weekend on?
I try to get as much done as possible, but I might give a break. I haven't looked at the schedule yet, but we'll see. But this upcoming episode for Monday will include a look at the insurance industry and how they fared this legislative session, what passed, what didn't, as you know, like, you know, Uber legislation, what will that mean for the state? So I'll have an expert discuss that, workers' comp, But for Memorial Day, I should take a break as I prepare for this election campaign trail podcast. So you might just gave me you probably just gave me an idea to take a nice little relaxing
okay,
break.
Okay, and
out.
On Monday, what time does the show drop? Is it like 12:01 a.m. or 7 in the morning? Or?
I try to get it at least by 5 a.m. In the morning to get it done for your morning drive.
Before
so
the
it
crow.
Could even be there.
Crows.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
all right, before the rooster crows. That's what they do. Yeah, I grew up on a farm, as you can tell, I'm sure. No. All right. Well, Tramiel, thank you so much for joining us. We'll look forward, I hope, in the weeks to come, is giving us insight on the never-ending election cycle here in the state of Florida.
Thanks for having me, Henry.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, thanks to Tramiel Jones again. The website is rotundapodcast.com, and all those potential climates and clients out there, go to gomesmedia.com, gomesmedia.com. Well, we want to thank those of you that listened and even those of you that called in for joining us this afternoon. We will be back next week with a Henry Rain show. I'm not quite sure what will happen for content, because really with this administration and this news cycle, who really knows what will happen between now and next Saturday at 12:05 p.m. And let me also remind you, you can find the show on demand at henryrainshow.podomatic.com. That's henryrainshow.podomatic.com. You can email your comments to henryrainshow@gmail.com. Again, the email is henryrainshow@gmail.com. I hope you will like us on Facebook at Henry Rain Show. So you might notice a trend in the naming pattern there. And you can share the podcast. It will be up there shortly. And I actually would be grateful for anyone that does share the podcast with their friends.